Gardner a big hand tonight.
Different with a handheld. I do. Cup of coffee. If you're clicking, you're probably there already. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening, Lord, I pray for your wisdom and revelation into everyone's life tonight. In your name, amen. So is this the end? I'm starting with that question tonight. You know, is Russia invading the Ukraine? You know, is this the end? Is this where we start seeing prophecy being fulfilled? You know, will Israel be next? You know, I've heard that discussion on the radio, people talking about it. Maybe it is, but I want to take you back in time a little bit. Let's go back to World War One, and that started in 1914 and ended in 1918. And during the conflict, it was Germany and Hungary and Bulgaria. You know, they fought against Great Britain, France, the United States, and Russia. We teamed up together. And by the end of that war, there was about 16 million people that had died. Was that the end? No, life continued on. Takes us to World War II. That lasted from 39 to 45. And in that time, it was Germany, Italy, and Japan against France, Great Britain, United States, and Russia. So we were friends back then. I guess my question is, why can't we be friends now? But that's probably a different Bible study. But at that point, 50 million people ended up dying. Was that the end? You know, imagine what people are saying back then. You know, wow, is this the end? Is this the end of the world? No, life continued. So that leads us to today. I don't know. All I do know is we're one day closer than we were yesterday. So it brings me to my first point tonight, and that is to occupy the land. You know, we're called to occupy the land. So let's repeat that. Occupy the land. We're called to do that. You know, what has God given you authority over? Where do you need to spend your time? And so that takes us to Matthew 25. We'll start with verse 14 to 18. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So the man also with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. So different versions of the Bible, one of them says, operate with this until I come. Put this money to work until I come back. So what God has given you, we are to do the best with. We're to occupy and operate with until he comes back. And it's an important statement that he has here, that he's putting us and entrusting us with things until he comes back. We are to occupy the land, advance the kingdom until he comes. We're not called to be museums where people say, oh, look, let's go visit that museum. Let's go visit those Christians. Look at them. We are called to be multipliers in the kingdom. And there's a danger when we just sit back and don't do anything. The world asks, what does a man own? Christ asks, what are you doing with it? So what are we doing with what we are given? So I came across this story as I was putting this together, and there's a flint, a sponge, and honeycomb. And if you're and referring to Christians, and if you're a flint, you know, you've got to hit it hard with a hammer, with another rock, to get a little spark out of it. Then there's a sponge. If you're a Christian that's a sponge, you got to squeeze. And then, you know, after you squeeze it, you get something out of it. But the honeycomb is just filled with goodness. It's dripping with sweetness. And so tonight's story is about two honeycombs and a flint. You know, the one talent man, you had to really pound on and maybe get a little spark out of him, but that was about it. The verse 14 talks about, in my Bible it says, the NIV I'm reading, calls it bags of gold. Your Bible, your version might have said a talent. So I want to talk about the word talent for the moment. A talent is 75 pounds. It's referred to weight in the Bible. And it could be 75 pounds of gold, 75 pounds of silver. Anyway, it's a large sum of money. So if any of you have a talent of gold laying around, I'll take it off your hands. I'll take it home tonight. Be no problem. But Tim Delina says one talent is 20 years of wages. David Jeremiah says it's $500,000. So it is a large sum of money these people were entrusted with to put into work. And you might say, well, okay, I don't have any money. Why is he talking about money? Well, insert your spiritual abilities here instead of money and carry that through the theme for tonight. We aren't told what they did with their money. We're not told how they spent it. We're not told how they doubled it. We're not told anything about that. But we do know that three of them were given the same assignment that night. The point is, how are we going to use what we have? And you might say, oh, I'm only one person. You know, what can I do? Well, Harriet Tubman was one person, but she had a desire to help other slaves. So when she was young, maybe 10 or 12 years old, she saw the master being rough with other slaves, so she stepped in. And a master, you know, threw a rock or something heavy, hit her in the head. And this is her words. It says, the weight broke my skull. They carried me to the house, all bleeding and fainting. I had no bed, no place to lie down all at once. They laid me on the seat of the loom. I stayed there all day and the next. So this, whatever, you know, she had her concussion. She ended up having headaches. And she ended up, at times, she would just fall asleep. Whenever. She would just... she'd be falling asleep. That didn't stop her. She couldn't read. She couldn't write. That didn't stop her. She made 13 trips from the north to the south. She returned 300 slaves over those trips. And I got to thinking, what would happen if we could track down the descendants and find out the lineage now? One person can make a difference. It would be amazing what those 300 families have, what has happened with them. So one person can make a difference. So yes, you can make a difference. The two people in the story here, they did their work promptly, with perseverance, with success. They made excellence a habit. They were ready to give an account to their master. And they had, all of them had the same assignment today. So my second point for tonight is your talents plus your assignment plus time equals success. So let's read verse 19 to 23. It says, after a long time, the master of these servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come, share in your master's happiness. So verse 19, it says, after a long time. He didn't know when he was going to come back. None of them knew when the master was coming back. And so just like us, we're to occupy until he comes. We're supposed to. We don't know the day and the time. Nobody knows except for God. But what an interesting statement, after a long time. What happens after a long time? You forget about it? You lose some of it? I lose things. You lose it, right? It's gone. You lose interest in it. You don't want to do it anymore. Or maybe you spent the money. But after a long time, those two men didn't lose interest in what they were called to do. They kept doing it. They multiplied what they were given. So, well, brings me, again, after a long time, it's hard not to think about it, but it's the pandemic. It's been a long time. Are we doing things the same? Probably not. Teaching's not the same in the classroom. Some things have been great improvements. Some not so good. But are we doing things the same? And I like routines. My wife will contest to that. I like them. I rely on them. They help me not forget things. But we do need to make changes. And if you think about the church during the pandemic and now after, it has made changes. We have to change. We have to change to multiply. And if we're not changing, I don't think we're being a good steward with their gift. You have to recognize what's going on. Which got me thinking about a field trip I went on years ago. And it was a beautiful old church, wooden floors, creaky wooden floors. There was a wood stove. They had to heat the place with a wood stove. Wooden pews that gave you slivers. They had doors on the pews to keep the heat in during the wintertime. And then when the presenter got up and started talking, the presenter said, well, back when this church was alive and growing, you had to pay to sit in the pews. The more you paid, the closer you sat. So things have changed, and you might be happy about that. Maybe you're not. But time and things have changed, and we need to change with the times too a little bit. I'm not saying do worldly things, but I'm saying, you know, biblical things, but things can change and they can still be biblical. So when we're called to occupy the land, we need to consider what changes do we need to make. So my third point tonight is stewardship is multiplying what you're given. Stewardship isn't protecting what you're given. Think about that for a moment. Am I multiplying it or am I protecting it? A young child finds a treasure and they think they have everything. It could be just a broken little something. But if you look at a young child with a little treasure, they're going to hang on to that because it's theirs. They found it. The value of it doesn't matter. But what are we doing with what God has blessed us with? Are we hanging on to that like a little child? Or are we blessing it with others? Billy Graham says we have two hands, one to receive and one to share with. What are we doing with it? So I want to talk about or unpack a little bit what a steward is. 1 Corinthians 4:1 says, let a man so account of us, ministers of Christ, and stewards of the ministers, mysteries of God. That's a mouthful tonight. The NIV says we are entrusted with the mysteries of God. The NLT says we're put in charge of explaining God's mysteries. Sounds like a steward is something more than somebody who hangs on to things. Sounds like a steward is somebody who shares things. And then verse 2 says, it is required that we be found faithful. We're required. That's a requirement of us. Leads me to a question. Are we being efficient managers of our Creator's resources? Of your land, your house? Can you do better with it? You know, I've wanted to move for years now. And we just haven't found the property that we can go to yet. So my wife and I, we like fruit trees. We thought, oh, we'll get a house and we'll plant fruit trees there when we get there and it's going to be beautiful. We got to thinking about our property. We have a hill in the back. It's great for sledding. But then there's part of the hill in the back we don't use at all. Well, why don't we plant fruit trees there? And so we did. Are we being efficient managers of what we have? I mean, you could always squeeze out just a little bit more somewhere and think about it. It reminds me of what you talked about on your farm, where you had to come through the woods to get to the other side to be better managers of the property. It's the same concept. It's the same idea. What else can you do? And so that goes back to, are we multiplying with what we have? There's a dangerous thing if we want to just hang on to it. It's a very dangerous spot to be in. And so now you might be thinking, well, what gifts has God given me? 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The Message Bible says it this way: be generous with the different things that God gave you, passing them around so all can get in on it. So being a good steward is receiving a blessing, then taking time to think about, oh, how can I bless others with what I have? I'm not saying don't save for the future or don't plan for retirement, but don't protect your increase like that little child did. You know, don't protect it so hard. That's not why God has blessed you. So you protect it. There's a danger there. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above. And that's a general statement, but let's be a little more specific here tonight. Then it talks about our gifts are from God. And then salvation is a gift from God. Ephesians 2:8. For it is not by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not for yourselves. It is a gift of God. What are we doing with that gift? And then the second one is in Psalm 127:3. The children are a gift of the Lord. They are a reward from him. And then it says in Proverbs 18:22 that our wives are our gifts. Are we growing each of those areas? Are we multiplying in each of those areas? We don't want to be like the one talent man and bury any of those gifts in the ground. Because then you're going to need to get it out and you're going to need to do something with that. Don't bury those in the ground. Let's read verse 24 tonight. So then the man who had received one bag of gold, Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See here, it is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown, I gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money in deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him. Give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, who will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the one, to me, the one talent man sounds like he's pretty proud of himself. Look, here, I'll clean it all up, and here's your gold. Here it is. This is what you brought me. Look, it's still this package the same. But in reality, he really didn't know the master. He thought he knew the master, but he really didn't. The Message Bible, I just like it sometimes how they just break it down. It says, the master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. How are we living? We need to take our gifts seriously. And as we get older, we tend to get a little bit more conservative. Chuck Swindoll says, in the process of growing older, we lose the desire to risk. It's a tragic loss. We become sophisticated, cautious, careful. We call it wisdom. It's cowardice. That's all. We're afraid to take giant steps of faith. We'd much rather stay near the shoreline than cast off into the deep. We want to know our security will be at the end of the road. We have to be careful with that. And so what can we do? Practical thing that we can do is invest in people. Acts 6 talks about a time when church was growing, things were getting big, they didn't know what to do, the widows weren't being fed, they weren't being taken care of like they should be. And so when they sat down and they I wouldn't say they hired 7 deacons, but they got 7 deacons to step in and to start helping out and taking over. They gave leadership to others. They gave a chance for someone to serve. And then Acts 6:7 says, so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So more Christians were added, disciples were added, and the priests were obedient. Well, that's a good day when the priests become obedient. And that was supposed to be kind of funny. Yeah. So 2 new leaders are added that day, Stephen and Philip, that may not have ever had a chance to step up and do something. But they invested in them. They gave them a chance. They taught them what to do. And they became new leaders in the church at that time. The back end of the story about the one talent man. He might have said, hey, my work conditions are bad. Working conditions are bad. Like, gas prices are up. Inflation is through the roof. Food costs too much now. Economy isn't good. I'm just going to bury that money, right? I can't trust the banks. There's no interest rates there. Well, then you know what? You need to dig a little deeper. You need to be a little more creative. You know, they didn't have the right environment. Well, your environment is not your limitation. Your environment is not your limitation. Joseph interpreted dreams in the prison. His environment was not his limitation. So think a little bit deeper of what you could do. Be a little more creative in how we can bless others right now. And I love verse 23. One of my favorite words I get to say in the classroom, well done. Well done isn't that you're done. Well done means you get more service. Well done means you're not done. Well done means you get more. So when you hear the phrases, well done doesn't mean, oh, I'm done, I can sit down, take a break. No, well done means, you know, get your working jeans on again because you're going back to work, you're getting more. You're going to occupy you need to, right, so we want well done. But well done means we get more. Solomon asked for wisdom. So wisdom plus God equals wealth. Abram asks for a son, plus God gives you generations. You ask for, add God, and you'll get. Don't leave God out of the whole scenario, because we're called to occupy the land. We don't want to have a one-talent mentality. It's a dangerous place to be. We need to take what we have seriously. So, which leads me to my last point, which kind of started me on this path a few weeks ago. 1 Chronicles 4:10. Jabez cried out to the Lord, the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me. You would enlarge my territory. So you're going to occupy it. Let your hand be with me. Keep me from harm, so I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Amen? Amen. All right, so I usually have Marty pray right now. This is kind of odd. So Tuesday mornings, we Bible study out back, and Marty always ends in prayer. So it's just a common thing I do. But I'll close in prayer, and you want to come up, it's fine. Whatever you want to do. You want to arm wrestle for it? Okay. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for these words. Let them resonate with us tonight and for the rest of the week. In your name, amen.
give him one more hand, will you? Am I there? Oh, DJ's talking. I want to sing that. You are good. Let's close the night that way. Stand with us tonight. You are good, good. Oh, would you lift your hand as a sacrifice and tell him, you are good, good. Oh, lift your voice tonight. You are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my... Come on now, lift your voice and tell him, you are... You're good. You feel his presence, don't you? Oh, come on, tell the Lord tonight. Bring a sacrifice of praise. Good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, good. Ooh, let's sing it one more time. Let the King of my heart, let the King of my be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. You tell him. Man, you sound good. And let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of all my days. Oh, he's my song. You are good. Come on. You're good. Oh, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Oh, you are good. Even if you're at home tonight and you're sick in body, you got one more chance. Tell the Lord tonight, receive a healing. You're good. You're good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good. You're good. Oh, let faith arise. Let faith arise. You are good. Yeah. Oh. I want to speak this into someone's spirit. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. Speak it in faith. Oh, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna come on one more time in this place. You are good. You're good. That's it, Deb. You are. You are good. You're good. Oh, you are good. Good. Ooh. I pray for someone even tonight that can't even speak the words that you're good. The enemy has taken their song, put them in such a place that their heart is broken, Their spirit is tattered. Their sails are broken. I speak by faith tonight, Father, a renewed spirit. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. You say it tonight. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. You say it again. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Those at home, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered in Jesus' name. Come on, seal it with a praise tonight. Come on. I really believe that this was a night totally orchestrated of the Lord. This Sunday, I'm going to preach a message about faith. And I believe it's going to be a life-changing Holy Spirit message. Don't just you come. Bring somebody with you. Will you do that? How many of you say that I'll do that? I'll bring somebody with me. Don't lie to me. You can't bring the person that's sitting next to you tonight. I'm talking about somebody else. Bring somebody with you. I believe it's going to be a great day. Love you guys. Sunday, 8:30, 10, and 12 noon. We'll see you real soon. God bless you.